nice to see young people having that entrepreneurial spirit, you know, trying to start a business. They say you can't make money unless you have money. But how do you have money unless you're making it? Well, you can always just take things from other people because that works, especially in California. And of course, the big respecter of entrepreneurs himself is in the studio. John Doyle, welcome back, or DaBaby, I don't know, who are you today? Welcome back to Slightly Offensive.
I'm just John Doyle, humble black person expert here to talk with you on Black History Month, our favorite month of the year. So yeah.
Yeah, and as you guys can see here, actually, we brought back the Diversity Coalition because we want to keep things as diverse as possible. Every week this month, we're going to be adding a new member, so continue to stay tuned, and you get to vote on the names, which is amazing. On that note, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have confetti of color, the COC, in our faces. I'm Elijah Schaefer, your top 17 host, joined by Savannah Hernandez, our resident producer and the host of the Rapid Fire Podcast.
Sav, what's up, guys?
How are you doing? It's a snowstorm. Mm-hmm. We barely made it. Are you okay? Are you alive?
I'm barely making it. I wasn't made for this type of weather, as you can tell, but I'm making it barely.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, like they say, right? You can take the boy out of the hood, but you can't take the hood out of the boy. And now that's very different when you're talking about the Ku Klux Klan, because then that's a different kind of hood, and then we condemn that fully. But when we're talking about the hood, we're talking about our roots. And today we're getting back to our roots. We're talking about our culture. We're talking about
my favorite television show, by the way, Roots.
Roots, exactly. And we're talking about diversity. And we're really, really happy. And that's why we brought you on,
right?
Because this is exactly your place of expertise.
It's true.
And I just got to say, when you see that video that we start out for our blind viewers of, you know, just these young people taking initiative, doing their best to get the best. I have to say, if I was going to rob a store, I probably wouldn't be T-Mobile, but I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's interesting because, like, all we really can do is just watch, and we can film it and we can kind of share it around, and it'll be on Twitter and everyone says, like, oh, look at this interesting thing I saw. And that's like what it has been reduced to. People don't view it necessarily as crime, even though it is, or they don't view it necessarily as, like, you know, unbecoming behavior. They just view it as like, oh, look at this interesting thing I saw. Like, to the average person in America, that is about the same in terms of the footage as like, oh, I saw, you know, two deer and they were like walking across the street. That's so interesting. And it's like, no one actually wants to talk about these problems and address them honestly. Like, all they want to do is just like videotape and be like, wow, that's so weird. But like, they know that if they got involved and they're like, hey, stop that. Well, first of all, it's like, you know, are you really going to risk that for T-Mobile? Probably not. But then it's like, also, why do you even have to risk it? Like, why are we living in a society where it is a risk to want to maybe tell people like, hey, maybe don't steal things?
Yeah. And I also find it kind of weird, too, because in California, it's also not illegal to steal. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where we are. It's not illegal to steal in California. There's no crime. And I'm not saying we got to go back to Sharia law, but
go back to Sharia law. Well, we had it. We tried it out.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's been Islamic empires. The law has reached around the world. And I would say that there was more similarities back then, especially with Christian nations and whatnot, with accountability and things like stealing. When you decriminalize it, it's like, that's why you go, well, they're not really damaging anybody because they're just like stealing something less than $1,000. But of course, like, you know, now with inflation, $1,000 worth of product is like two bananas and maybe like a t-shirt because things have gone up so high. When people loot, they forget, they don't just take the stuff. It's called a smash and grab for a reason. They break the casings. They actually like destroy the store. When I see vandals, that's actually what I dressed up as. I know you were asking me earlier why I was dressed like this. I was dressed like a Philadelphia looter. Mm. Because when I was in Philadelphia, a lot of people were dressed like this as they were looting. And I just wanted to jump in and say to them, just because you hurt me doesn't mean that I can't embrace it. And I got to tell you guys about that. Remember, I did get jumped. Bad things have happened. And of course, I do have a prop gun here. This is not a real firearm, by the way. And if you might notice, what I actually have it in is my concealed carry from Northwest Retention. Now, John, times are pretty tough. Smash and grabs are normal. We've seen some crazy things. I've talked about some insane things, and you got to stay strapped. Am I right?
You're completely correct. I mean, the iron law of nature is that you are responsible for your own safety, bottom line. And we live in a society where that is becoming increasingly apparent to people. And, you know, if you can make a several $100 investment, and it wouldn't even be that much, by the way, in your own safety, you never have to worry about it again because you never know when it's going to happen.
But what's the point of having a gun if you don't have somewhere to hold it? So obviously, I trust Northwest Retention, which are the best American-made, high-quality products with the best materials. Of course, there's a small business who supports not only the show, but your rights as well. And so we love to support that. But if you check out their website, you can see all they have to offer. You can get their side holster. You can get their Scout chest holster for if you're more of an active person or you're hiking. And of course, like I showed you, that's my concealed carrier, which I use because, believe me, a lot of people try to roll up on me sometimes, and I got to carry a gun everywhere. And Sam has one too. She loves her side holster, and she has her belt system. It's premium quality, satisfaction guaranteed, and they offer a lifetime warranty. They've got you covered with holsters done right. Visit nwretention.com. That's nwretention.com. nwretention.com. Enter promo code OFFENSIVE to save 10%. nwretention.com for the best holsters out there. So obviously I didn't carry a gun. You know what I always find is so crazy?
Oh, they caught you lacking. Bro didn't have the strap on him.
Yeah, they say, yo, John, I am here, and I pull the trigger. Right. And then I know that I was hanging out with my bigger friends on the street.
Right. That's what they say.
That's what they say.
No, I like that. That was a Tupac song, I think.
Yeah. Savannah, actually, that was her cousin wrote that.
I want to see Hispanic. Savannah's face right now.
It was a Latino.
I'm like,
I'm
not
song.
On the screen for a reason, solely because like I'm respecting this show so much, and it's just speaking to me as a minority so much that it's just, it's too much.
But hey, heard, bro. Elijah played too much.
Yeah, but Sam,
too goofy.
Am I living through scary?
Play too much.
Yeah. Yo, dude, I love that. It's like, whack. I did that the other night too. I was like, what? Bitch.
You know what's funny though? You know what's funny about black
culture?
That's how
I feel right now.
Black culture doesn't have autism. They just have like play too much. Like that's like their equivalent of it. Like if like a black person's doing something like weird or something, they'll be like, bro, you play too much. Like you trifling. Whereas like a white kid, if he's like doing something weird, autism. They'll be like, you have autism.
It's funny. We diagnosed with autism. That's actually true.
We get diagnosed with autism. We have to walk around the school in a special parade. We have to have like, you know, a hand. Black kids just play too much.
Yeah, he's playing. Hey, he'll grow out of it. Savannah, but we were talking about this too, because obviously you've been in Philadelphia. You've seen a lot of this stuff too with the looting and whatnot. It is really crazy how in some major cities and metropolitan areas, we've accepted crime as sort of like being a necessary symptom or like result of diversity. Like I'm not joking. Like there's never like an all white neighborhood where they're like, yeah, like we just accept like this. And I feel like it really does a disservice to minorities or to people when you're like, yeah, well, hey, you know, let the black people loot the black people and a lot of the stores actually are Asian owned, which is your people too. Mm-hmm. But I mean, a lot of them are Asian owned and they get completely cleared out. Even Hispanic in black neighborhoods, there's a lot of like Hispanic and Asian owned, like entrepreneurs, first generation. And there's sort of been this acceptance of like, well, like I find that to be a sort of a racist assumption of like, that's just what these people do. Like that's literally why they changed the law. They're like, we can't stop them from doing this. They're going to do this forever. Let's just not make it illegal. That's what happened in California. I was living there when that happened. That was the argument.
Yeah, you know, I feel like this very much speaks to the people are going to do what they want to do. There is a power in numbers type of thing. Mm-hmm. And how do we solve this problem? I don't know. Rooftop Koreans, more guns.
Get on the roof. I'm handing you an AR-15.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, the Koreans had it right. I have no idea. Living in this progressive utopia, though, as an Asian person, just shout out to all of the Asian business owners. Sorry you're living through this. That's it.
Yeah, shout out. I was going to say, I don't know. You just saw that too, how the police would stand down and would accept this as like a part of their society. Well, obviously like our leadership though is really out of control. I don't know if you saw this, but Joe Biden is having trouble walking now. I mean, look, okay, because this is why you can't make it a racial issue, right? I don't know if you saw this, but he had to get led down the steps by his wife, and he's looking at the floor, watching his feet, shuffling very slowly. Can I just say this too? There's nobody I hate more than those people who wear the double banded N95 masks.
Yeah, like they put some thought into it.
Yeah, like it's like a neck and head strap. I guess it's like to keep the ears from tension, but it looks way worse. You look like a duck. These are our leaders, John. These are the people running the country. But I mean, like, isn't that, no wonder why nobody takes the United States seriously. These are the people supposed to be leading our country.
Yeah, I mean, we're a joke. And that's why I've been saying this since he got fortified into the office. But I almost prefer that he's president now. Like, there was something about...
Why?
Well, seriously, because there was something about Trump being president that was, like, wrong. No.
Mm-hmm.
The point being... that the country, like every other institution, whether it's the media or the universities or anything, it's all like a joke. And so the icing on that cake has to be like the guy who's supposedly the cheerleader and the leader of the free world. He has to kind of fit that model. You know, when it was Trump, it seemed like almost wrong. And I was happy to have Trump in office, and I'm excited for him to return to office. But it's like we almost deserve to have Joe Biden as a president because we've allowed for everything else to become so bad that it just makes sense that he would be the president in 2022.
I know, and like, I'm sorry, but with the mask thing, like, if it's 2022, and if you're still wearing a mask, it's theater or you're mentally ill or both. Like, if you're still thinking that these things are the pathway and the key to getting out of the pandemic, like, if you haven't figured out what's going on yet, and you haven't figured out this is all theatrics, I mean, I look at this and my heart kind of breaks because you go, like, this country had so much potential. And from Jekyll Island until now, right? The infiltration of our entire country from every institution, what's become of our nation, what we've developed into. I mean, the fact that we have months where we celebrate certain races. I mean, I don't know. I find it kind of degrading. And then it also makes me sad too, because it's like, there's nothing to aspire to be. If, like, the greatest thing you can be in a country is like the president of the United States. It's like, one day I hope a black man will become president. And they said that would change the whole course of the country. And then we had a half black person as president. And maybe that's what the problem was. We weren't all the way there. That's what it was. Barry was only half black.
Honestly, Elijah, True. Though, I just do want to say, like, as one of the biggest proponents for a potential White History Month, the fact that it does not happen every single year is the biggest letdown. And it's really hard to have to cope with the fact that it never happens.
I don't even think we need a month. And I make this point in the MLK video, which is so important. And if you're watching, this has been released now. But we don't even need a month. Just like have like White People Day, you know? We're more punctual. We don't really need a whole month. We'd probably just knock it out one day. I mean, it'd be a nice time.
And if it's White Person Day, let's figure this out. So if we have a white day, it's like, that's the one day where like everyone needs to read the labels of their food to see what's like, what chemicals are putting into their body. It's a good start. Like, hey, like start thinking about like what you're feeding your kids. So get up, look at the food in your pantry. This is like how it's productive rather than just being like a racial thing. It's like everyone gets up and starts thinking like, is the food I'm feeding my kids poison? Is the WIC food? Is the government food? Is the food that I'm buying my family members, anything like that? Is it helping or hurting them?
How would you spend your White People Day? You have the day off. It's a federal holiday.
Okay,
How are you spending?
We're going to start with Savannah. Savannah, we need to start with you. Go full screen.
Okay.
Savannah Hernandez, okay, I'm going to give you one. I'm buying you a second here by saying, Savannah Hernandez, It is White Person Day. It is not a racist holiday. It is simply a racial remembrance day to be a huge respecter of whatever it is you think it's supposed to be. Now, if you were going to celebrate and say, this is that, just the one day to represent white people, I want to hear this from my diversity hire. Go.
Well, I would start off by saying thank you to the white man in society who gave me a job here. And I would further go on to think about all of the white men who have really created the great portions of our country who have propped me up. Almost all of my friends are white, okay? I actually have a couple of white friends myself. So I really do think that it could be a great day to remember all of the great contributions that white people have made to society.
I don't even think Savannah needs a day. Like, there's nobody on the face of the planet that spends more time thinking about white men than Savannah Hernandez. So the fact that she would need to like have this reserved to a day. I know,
it's either me hating one white man or like other white men complicating her life, or you, John, you know, like thinking about you consistently and just like wishing that you would give her a shot.
It's true. It's so many women on the right wing are doing this, but we don't have time. You know, we have to wear our, you know, ethnically appropriate.
Yeah, every single day I have to wake up and know that John Doyle does not want to give me a shot. And it's I have to cope so hard. It's really difficult. Yeah.
Coping and seeing.
When John doesn't give you a shot, that's why God made whiskey. Take a shot when you don't get one. I will say Booyah Kasha, because this is actually really true. Dude, I would have been a really good like ghetto boy. How would you spend your white day?
You know, I have such a soft spot in my heart for the days that I spent. This would have been like 2012, 2013. And I had just gotten late. My Xbox 360, right? A staple of white suburban culture. And, you know, I'd be playing Call of Duty 2, I think, with the Black Ops zombies, and you do like the train. Dude, I will never forget how much fun it was to like, there was the map. I think it was called Train or something, or Transit. That was it, Transit. And it was the first map where you would go to different locations and you could like leave people behind like at different locations and totally screw them over. That was so much fun. Simultaneously, another staple of white suburban culture, arguing with your mom about when dinner time was. This was so much fun. It's like, Johnny, dinner's ready. I'm like, Mom, I can't pause an online game. Like, well, you have to come. I'm like, what difference does it make if the food is cold? I'm still going to eat it. It was like a whole thing. So that's probably how I'd spend my White People Day. I'd probably try to recreate that scenario. I'd get my bunk beds back, get the Xbox 360, and get my mom. And
weird statement on that. Do you know, I was about with our memories, that in the immediacy, we tend to focus on the negative and not the positive, but in long-term memories, we tend to remember only the positive and not the negative.
Dude, this is so true.
It's actually true.
I get so nostalgic over times in my life where I was just like, this sucks. But now I'm looking back and I'm like, that was sick. I like that.
That was really sick. Yeah, and you know what? I'm feeling nostalgic too. I think if I had a White Person Day, well, first of all, I would say this. I'm actually the biggest respecter of diversity ever. As you can see, I have an entire coalition. If you guys have been following the show for a long time, you guys asked where they went and we just forgot about them. Honestly, they were in a drawer.
Not true. My mom came in when mom was on. And she organized them. She made them a nice little bed in the drawer. And so yeah. Mom came in and made sure they were taken care
of. So we're back. We're back with the Respector. But I was going to say, and no better month to bring them back out than this month. I'm very, very excited to bring them back on. I guess on a white day, I think like I would just like ask everyone to just stop committing like petty crime.
The reverse of the purge.
Yeah. Like, hey, can we all just agree to not like rob people, not threaten people, and everyone can just walk down the street safely, and that we can like just act like we live in a suburban neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like can we all just, cause maybe if everyone just for once could see that your neighborhoods don't have to be like this, then perhaps we could all get along better. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. And also with no GMOs for the day. But that's pretty basic. That's all I'm asking, for people to not hurt each other and steal each other's things. It's pretty basic. Can they do it?
Well,
this is for everyone, all races. Can they do it?
Yes. I think that we need more police, though. I mean, like, and this is really the tragedy of Black America, is that as they believe they've made so much progress throughout society since the civil rights movement in the last like 60 or 70 years, virtually by every metric, they've denigrated. I mean, whether it's the rate of homeownership, the ratio of like imprisonments in terms of 1960 versus now, like how many Black people per capita are in prison, everything has gotten worse or has stayed like the same. But they think that they've made progress and they think that they need more progress. And concurrently to that, their cities, well, not even their cities, but American cities, which they occupied, were completely destroyed. Like, this is so weird that all of a sudden we know to like stay out of the cities, and like, yeah, you go downtown for an event, but then, you know, you don't want to like live in the city unless it's like in the downtown area. But that, and
the gentrified, the hipster area where they've torn down all the projects and built their own.
But when you get into like the radius of it, that's like the area that you want to stay out of. And like, that's very new, but that's as a result of all of these policies and of the civil rights movement. And so it's just really unfortunate that these people still have this sort of mentality that they would rather like outsource the responsibility to white people. Like, oh, you guys did this to us. And it's like, that's not exactly what happened. And the solution to the problem that is even more difficult to kind of get these people to buy into is that you actually need basically to militarize these neighborhoods, because you're never going to have economic opportunity that you used to have in these cities when there's crime, because businesses have no incentive to open because they're not getting foot traffic. There's theft. Whether that's in terms of merchandise or of like literal like robbery. And it's like they have no incentive to open. That's why we've poured so much money into grants and things like that to try to incentivize businesses to open up in these neighborhoods. And still, even then, they don't want to. So you can debate whether or not, you know, poverty is what causes crime or crime is what causes poverty. Bottom line is that we have an under incarceration problem in this country. They say, oh, we have too many people in prison. No, we actually have too few people in prison. You look at all these people who come out, they have rap sheets that are dozens of pages long, and then we still let them out and they go on to reoffend. You need to lock these people up to make these communities safer. And then maybe one generation, two generations from now, they can return to a state of relative stability.
Lock them up.
Literally.
And I was going to say this, check this out on my screen here. It's like, you talk about militarizing people. I think that sounds like, you know, it's racist or something. It's like, even in Canada, they're considering getting the military involved to end the downtown occupation, AKA the trucker protest, which we stand behind. They're trying to get the military involved in this.
Dude, I love Canadians. I texted my sister's fiance is Canadian. I texted him yesterday. I was like, I bet you feel so smug right now. He's like, why? And I was like, for your entire life, for 26, 27 years, you've had to hear all the, ooh, a boot, ooh, all the jokes from Americans. And now look who's actually like standing up against the tyranny, the Canadians. And this is why, you know, I talk about this on my channel a lot. You have to stop buying into the politically correct tribalism. You have to stop making jokes about Canadians and about Europeans and stuff like that. Like, make the jokes if you want, but understand the reason that those are the jokes that are funny and those are the jokes that are trending in the meme algorithms. Oh, Italians have pasta sauce for blood, is because racist jokes never stop being funny, but they're trying to get you to redirect that energy towards Europeans. But you can't say that about Mexicans. You can't say that about Chinese people, about any other race of people.
Is it true that Mexicans
only white people
poop out pinto beans? I'm just asking you. Is that true? Okay. All right. Well, we heard her here.
We're just curious. But it's like with Canadians, I mean, you know,
I didn't know where they came from. They're little brown pellets.
Yeah. The Canadian men, I mean, like, these are fundamentally like, you know, there's a different culture, obviously. They tend to have a different strain of politics up there, but it's like they still recognize tyranny when they see it. And they're standing up against that. So it's like, these are our friends. We need to stop making fun of them just because of these like minor cultural differences, which, yes, are funny. They talk with the front of their mouth like this. That's hilarious. Don't get me wrong. I'm from the Midwest. Okay, dear bud. Like, I understand. But it's still at the same
I feel
time.
Like, I should have been Canadian because I kind of talk like that myself. But like, I talk with the front of my mouth type of thing.
It's true. Yeah, it is true. The Elijah accent is difficult. But it's like, we have to call out excellence when we see it. And I'm really happy to see that the Canadian guys are standing up. French guys, too. You know, the French, no one probably gets more crap than, like, the French, except maybe the Canadians. You know, oh, the French, they surrendered. Haha. It's like, dude, the French rule the world.
So, they riot
the French
so well.
Empire. And now it's like you see some of their candidates who are running for president, and they are so based and so good on all the issues. And it's like, stop it. No more brother wars. We are all in the struggle against the... Oh, what did I had a good term for this. I think the global libtard menace, I think. Yeah, the global libtard menace. We are all resisting that one struggle.
Then can we get our hands up and hold hands on the screen together? Where are we? Where are your hands? Wait, why is this so hard? Where, this put your difficult. Hands up.
No, but
we are the people. We are the world.
John's
for
point
you and me.
Here. Like, this is so difficult. John, truly though, like, I've watched protests around the world and... to the slightly offensive backers, we'll start give, send, go for SAP. My dream is to actually go cover a French protest because the French go so hard.
They riot.
C'est vrai?
They will take a picture of Macron and they will rip it up in the middle of the streets. And I'm like, that's the energy, my guy.
They'll throw manure in the front lawns of
the
places.
The French go hard. And I'm like, America, where are you at?
Beaucoup?
Where are you?
Well, New York did pretty good during the trash issue, when they couldn't pick up the trash, that they all got together and they took truckloads of trash and threw it into the governor's or the mayor's mansion. Did you see that? Like just like pounds and pounds of bags, just like out of trucks. And I thought it was really good. Yeah. I do say this though too, like with the racism thing though, like you said, I think that the whole point is to divide us, but also in terms of our country too, I think it's a psyop on black people to like make them consistently. Everyone to feel like we're so different rather than in this country. We do all benefit from everyone doing well. We genuinely do, right? I don't want my cities to feel like I can't go into them. I don't want to feel like I'm going to get shot. I don't because of looters,
yeah.
Not because of anybody in particular, but just because of looters, right? I don't like the fact that with Black Lives Matter, that all the police had to do was give one stand down order and every city, pretty much major city in the United States, was able to be completely overtaken and overrun simply by because they just didn't aggressively police enough. That's essentially what happened. If anyone wants to know how BLM riots actually happen, what it always happened that there was a protest and then police were given a stand down order and then the police didn't police the protest. So then everyone realized they could loot and the police didn't do anything about it. I don't know if you guys knew that. That's literally how it all happened. If you ever want to know this, that's why the cities can be sued. I'm talking to Rikita when he comes down here about suing Philadelphia and Wisconsin for my damages and putting me in danger and everything. Cause they also use stand down orders, which I think was illegal.
Yeah.
And I got hurt in the process of them failing to police their own cities. So we're working on that. But I will say this, there's this mom who was upset because she says that her kids are being taught from a young age. Like, where does this come from? Where does this great divide come from, right? Well, it starts usually in the institutions and in the schools because people have let the state raise their children rather than raising them themselves. It's the same mockery with the Italians that's been homeschooling.
Yeah.
Oh, you're homeschooling because you must be antisocial. Oh, your kid must be a loser. Or like, oh, you have to homeschool because he's special, like because he's autistic or something.
Yeah.
He needs extra help. Or also too, like you can't teach your own kids. What are you? You're not a credentialed teacher. It's like that same pandemic rhetoric of like, you don't know what could treat your common cold because you're not a doctor.
And doctors and teachers are both retarded. This is like one of the biggest lessons from the pandemic. Like the only reason that we're opt into thinking doctors are smart is because we would like to think that the people who are in charge of health are like the smartest people, but they're not. I mean, you look at how many people die because of like accidental things going on.
250,000 in the United States per year
also
are killed from malpractice.
Yeah. And it's like, you're not intelligent. First, you can look at the like qualifications necessary to get into med school and things like that. You're
not
intelligent and you're memorizing information that was written in a textbook that was paid for by Big Pharma. So it's like, also, stop pretending you did it because you really care. You did it because you know doctors make a lot of money. That's why you did it.
Dude, you want to hear the best
thing
ever?
They're heroes.
Wait, my favorite thing is when you're in like biology 101 or like, or maybe it's 201, depending on if you went to like AP, you know, biology or whatever, and you go into school and then they have like your intro class, right? And it's like, you know, your first big lecture, there's like 180 students to 500 students, whatever school you go to. And they'll like ask you, when I went to UC Irvine and I was in like my biology course, I was too big to ask the questions, but when I went to Azusa Pacific University, it was like, you know, private school. So it was a little bit smaller. It's like 80 kids in the lecture. So they were like in this like breakout group, like, why are you studying biology? And everyone's like, I just want to help people. You know, I really want to like, you know, I've always had a passion for medicine. And I remember like the biggest respect that I ever had was this like one chick that was just like, yeah, you know, I looked at the jobs and like, I can kind of take tests well. And I saw they make a lot of money. And so this is what I'm doing. And like, it was so funny because all these people, like by the time it push came to shove and you realize how effing hard it is to get like even just an undergrad degree in like organic chemistry history or like molecular biology or one of these things that you can't just party and hot chicks and stuff. Like you actually really got to put your time in.
That's true. Like if you're like a surgeon or like a specialist, I'm sure that you're, you know, an intelligent person. But I'm tired of listening to these like
TikTok. They do it for the money. I'm saying they do it for the money. Well, that's security. True. I'm saying like by like the third or fourth year, people finally admit like this. Like people will finally be like studying. Like I better make a lot of money. It's like taking a test.
I don't like listening to like these physicians that go on TikTok talking about you have to listen to me because I have a piece of paper. And it's like no,
I don't.
No, you're stupid. Actually, haha. I don't care about your piece of paper. Haha. You're
dumb. I'm a gang member. I don't want you to listen to you. I don't listen to society. I don't listen to anything. I got to tell you this. You know what I don't listen to is GMOs and disgusting antibiotic nasty meat, which isn't even available anywhere because you can't really find meat in most places. We got a couple inches of snow in Texas. All the shelves were cleared, but it's true. But honestly, do you know why I have meat? Thanks to Moink Box. You got to join the Moink movement today. Obviously, you want to know how to get meat delivered to your house. Well, you can get chicken, steak, salmon, anything you really want, pork, whatever. But the best part about this meat is it's not pumped with all these chemicals and the animals are treated fairly on small farms. So when you support Moink, not only do you support your own health by getting healthy meat that can get you those gains, those sick gains. John, are you lifting, Rand? You've been lifting. I can tell.
It's true.
And you got to eat a lot of protein.
No, unironically, the rule is just to overeat everything they tell you not to eat. And red meat is so good for you. If you think the cholesterol is a problem, you've been psyoped by the food pyramid. It's not true. I drink raw eggs that have been, you know, from a farmer's market. You don't want to do that with like, you know, regular grocery store eggs. But yeah, eat red meat. Drink eggs, butter. These are all things that are very good for
you. Yeah, and how are you going to get that red meat unless you join Moink Box and get it delivered right to your house? Right now, you guys on this show can get free filet mignon for a year, which it sounds crazy, but it's amazing. That's 1 year of the best filet mignon you'll ever taste, but for a limited time, go to moinkbox.com, moinkbox.com/offensive right now. That's moinkbox.com/offensive to get a year of filet mignon free and get all the best meats delivered to your house. It's amazing. I don't know why you would wait. So like, yeah, but the PSYOP that I think is interesting with like the meat and all that stuff is like, obviously the best part is when they say your kid's going to be weird, what they're saying is your kid is not going to be like the other kids who were raised in a system to act and think a certain way. Oh, you what? I'm not going to know what wet ass music is. Good. I don't want my kid to like that music. You part of the reason why I'm like not people always ask me like, what music are you into? Like part of the reason why I'm like not, I just like good music. And I'm like, not in this like, oh dude, I've had this year and Taylor Swift really got me through it is because, you know, I wasn't around a bunch of kids that were like listening to certain music. I wasn't even allowed to have like an iPod and I wasn't allowed to have anything. iPods came out when I was a kid anyways.
As like the person here who was actually homeschooled, can I jump in on this a little bit?
I was homeschooled my whole life. Pretty
much. I was homeschooled? Why do you think I'm autistic?
John, you were not homeschooled. Elijah, okay. But no, like,
I was like, really?
But is that why we're both kind of socially retarded?
Me socially, booyakasha, bitch. What do you think? No, huh, girl. What you want?
Truly,
don't ever call me. Hey, don't ever disrespect. Don't ever disrespect me on my show. Ever disrespect me on my show. Seriously, I'm not that guy.
You're not that guy.
She's trifling, bro. Get your girl, bro. Get your girl, bro.
Hey, you speak when spoken to, girl. No, girl,
shorty out of pocket.
Hey, I give you permission to speak.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, we're in my hood, girl. Shoddy, hey Shoddy, pull up.
I forgot this was White Appreciation Day. But anyways, the point that I was gonna make is so John loves to talk about how minorities have low impulse control. It's one of his
I have never said this.
He's
nobody
the biggest respecter of minorities.
No one
I've
has ever
met
said
in my life.
We'll pretend
that
that's a thing.
Pull up, Shoddy. What are you doing?
The point that I'm trying to make here is that if I had stayed in the public school system when I was in preschool, okay, I wasn't even in like real school at this point. When I was in preschool, I was getting suspended for getting into school fights.
And, oh, really? Shocker.
I know. Imagine Savannah Hernandez having a bad attitude. You would never. The point that I'm trying to make here is if I wasn't homeschooled, my life would have been very different than it is today. If I wasn't homeschooled, it would be very difficult for me to delve into the political realm because you do have to be very hungry for education and knowledge every single day. You have to learn how to do that yourself. And the education system teaches everybody how to be subservient and pathetic right now. So all I'm saying is that actually, I hated homeschooling when I was homeschooled. Like I hated it. Me and my mom fought every single day. But as an adult, I'm like, okay, that was definitely necessary. John, I don't know what you're going to say right now, but actually shut the fuck up.
Smash my life into pieces.
I just, your mom is such a lovely woman. I don't know how you could ever fight with her.
Yeah, literally. Oh my gosh. I'm going to tell you this right now. If you're here in the comments, we need a lot of like very, very nice comments. We need hearts in the comment section for Sav's mom. Literally.
She's already got a shout out in the podcast review.
Hearts in the chat really, for Sav's mom.
It's really weird because I met Sav's mom. She's really sweet. I like her. She likes me.
Perfect woman.
I met Sav's little sister. She's really sweet. Adorable. I like her. She likes me a lot. And it's like, what happened to Savannah? You know, she's like this very just.
I'm my father's daughter, okay?
I don't know what happened to you, yo, but the streets, they toughened me up. No, but I was homeschooled
too. You have
too.
To stop.
I was. What? Hey.
Hey.
No, I was going to say, I want to play this video and talk more about the schooling thing. This is actually a really important conversation.
Before we play this video, remember that time that there was a snowstorm in Dallas and then nobody except us were in the studio and so we decided to wild the f*** out?
This is so funny to me because
nobody's here.
I have never felt more proud to be from Michigan because I'm like an expert at snow driving. And it's like you get down here and it's all, don't mess with Texas, cowboy. And then 2 inches of snow shuts the whole state down.
Whole entire state. It's like, oh, sorry. There was a rainstorm, so we're going to have to shut down your gym, your school, and the grocery store. Sorry.
I will say this. I feel sometimes a little bit of sadness because I love John on the show so much. My initial intent was to like bring John down here and have him be like a continual person on the show every week, like have a day like I don't know, Doyle Fridays. And it was like supposed to be like a thing. But then John's too good that I just needed to share him with everyone.
Right.
And so I needed to, but it made me kind of sad. Cause like I wanted Doyle to be like the thing on Slightly Offensive that he's just there, but now he's on every show on Blaze. And now he works with Blaze professionally. You can't stop a talented young man from being talented and from getting ahead.
No.
You can't stop
them. Disregard women, acquire the will to power, the slow ascent to power. It is so
real. It's so good. No, but I was going to say, I really do love this because when we have these days too, where like we barely made it here because the streets were not cleared. And we were able to just do this. We are all real friends in real life. And to talk about the schooling stuff, obviously the reason why they condemn homeschooling is because they want you to be involved in things like this. And parents are barely starting to wake up and realize that their kids' education matters. And you shouldn't trust the state. You don't shouldn't trust doctors. You shouldn't trust the state to raise your kids because they do stuff like this. Let's play video number two.
I just want to counteract that. I actually pulled my daughter out of AM Culp because of the fifth grade teacher who lined those students up from whitest to darkest, made them turn around, and the white ones needed to apologize to the black ones. Now, do not tell me that did not happen, okay, in this district. You need to put an end to this. Kids do not see color, and you are segregating them, and you are separating them. This is not okay. Do something or get out of those damn chairs.
So the point is like I'm saying that they condemn homeschooling, which I think we've seen the largest jump during the, we need to figure this out. Family discussion time.
Right.
Cause we need to come up with some terms here real fast.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stop calling this the pandemic without getting kicked off of other people's shows. So think of the assumption. I'm not on my show. I'm on someone else's show where I have to be extra careful in how I speak. Without acknowledging and that they were in a pandemic and saying the truth of what's really going on without directly saying it, what word do I use for pandemic? Because you could do scamdemic or plandemic or whatever. That wouldn't work on a news show. That wouldn't work on anything. They would cut you off immediately. So my point is like, what is the phrase for pandemic before I go any further? Is it just,
can I just interject and say mass sham? Government propaganda campaign? John?
Yeah. This maybe propaganda campaign.
Yay.
Homosexuality in the form of a
John's like very, very bad.
No, but I'm just like, there's got to be a word for this. Like, people watch this gay.
Well, and the reason,
hey, you know this gay.
Yeah, you know this gay that's going on. You know, we really need to shut this down.
That would
gay stuff. They said it was just going to be for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden, slippery slope, and now the gay
can't
stuff
say
is
that
controlling
on Fox
your entire
News,
life.
Buddy.
Well, it's true, and it's true. And I say
you
it all
could
the time.
If you were brave enough.
No. What I'm saying is like I'm just saying like to help people out there to know what they could say at their jobs or like we've got to come up with some new terminology. We've got to arm the people, John. We've got to arm the people with new words. So it's like maybe that's I think that's not bad.
Scamdemic is good. I mean, the average person's not going to be
that's so boomery though. Like, let's be honest.
It does doesn't matter because it's the cleverness of it. Like, yeah, it's not that esoteric, but it doesn't have to be. You know, if it has to be palatable to the masses, it kind of has to be
scam-demic
very basic.
Is, yeah, I guess we could just call it for right now scam-demic, but mass propaganda, the scam-demic mass propaganda campaign.
Think about it. If you're in the checkout line, an average person at Kroger, and you hear someone say the mass propaganda campaign, they're going to be like, what? But if you hear scam-demic, they're going to go like, I like that. That's clever.
Okay. No, so the
short,
scam, the scam-demic,
simple, the point,
the scam-demic. Okay. We're talking about all this stuff and everything. The gay. The
gay scam-demic.
We gotta shut gay. This gay shit down.
Gay.
Now.
Gay,
what up,
gay,
dude? Hey, yo, gay, we don't do gay, that in my part.
Gay,
yo.
Gay.
Hey, hey.
That's such a funny word.
We don't do it in my part.
Gay.
Hey. Hey. Back, I had a homie back in prison. He did the most. Right. He was into that, but not here, bro. Nah. We don't do that here. I did want to say this, that because of the all
Can we
this,
talk about why we're doing this as well? You know.
I literally
for
was.
For White History Month.
No, I was dressing up as a looter who punched me in the face. That was what I did.
Well, I was dressing up as myself because I'm brown. John?
John?
I just dress like this every day.
Yeah, it's true.
The point being, though, you know, these little characters we're doing, it is important. Like, if you're going to live in a country like this, you have to acknowledge differences and make fun of them. Like, this is just the bottom line. I mean, like, if you look at, like, the height of probably unity in this country, it was probably right around after 9/11. And you, like, look at what was going on in the culture. I mean, you had, like, John Cena putting out rap albums and everyone loved it. You had the Chappelle show. He was making fun of white people. He was making fun of black people. You have to do that because if you just ignore those differences and pretend that there are no differences, then everything's kind of starts to get, you know, more tense, right? Like we start thinking, no, there are differences and we kind of exaggerate them because no one's really talking about them. So people are polarized, they're isolated, they're kind of left to their own devices to think about, you know, what these people are really like. But if you just make jokes like, you know, black people do this, white people do this, like everyone can just kind of exist in a much more honest and cohesive dynamic than we are now.
Remember Chappelle's, before we go back to the schooling stuff, his wife swap with the black and the white family?
Yeah.
When like, that was so funny when the, like the white kid goes into the black family, the black kid, or I think it was like, yeah, but the black kid's like with like the white mom or whatever. And I love how the black dad's like, the kid does something. He's like, get your ass upstairs. I'm going to whoop you. You better get up there. And then the white dad's like, all right, Johnny, I told you to do your work.
Exactly.
And I'm going to, one more warning.
That's what's great about that skit warning. Because that skit makes, you know, black families look really aggressive and white families look really dorky. But then he does another skit and it's like, if, you know, what was it? If black people finally got their reparations and there was a line that was like, you know, the bank line is empty, but oh, wait, what? We're getting a transmission. They go over to the liquor store and there's a black
John,
woman.
Let's see your shoes today. Let's see your shoes today. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
The reparations.
Hell yeah.
It's true. And they're just like, hide the money, y'all, to po' folk around with your broke ass. And it's like, that's funny. You have to acknowledge the differences.
Yo, I know that was me, right? You were pretending to be me.
Yeah. Well, I was pretending to be Dave Chappelle's character.
Oh, okay.
Popular Comedy Central
that
show,
like
the
my,
Chappelle
like
show.
Me.
And also, that hasn't changed because now Dave Chappelle has always been funny, right? And look at now the same comedy he's been doing for 20 years. Now, all of a sudden, they have a problem with it because that is not allowed anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And this is the point. Is the reason why they mock homeschooling and stuff is because anything that can kind of promote this individualism, this Western identity, this idea of being your own, this non-collectivist, tribalist thinking, they're against. And that's the problem. Is like each family would educate slightly differently. Every family would think, and every kid would be educated according, hopefully, the parent is being sensitive to what their kids understand and what they're good at. And the goal is to get people into this tribe. Like they've already done it with black people where it's like they already have, you know, it's the common black struggle. There's, you know, like one black man dies, we all feel it type of thing.
I want to say
that's
too.
That's their struggle.
If Eric July came in here dressed in a polo with like a pocket protector, I would think that's the funniest thing ever. Like,
yeah, like
that's
his hair
hilarious.
Like combed to the side. Yeah, like he's flat got, ironed and combed yeah. to the side.
Yeah, and he's just like, he's just
on lock.
Dude,
really
literally next time he's on here, I'm going to have him do that.
How are you all doing today?
Dude. Next week, John, I got to have you back on and we got to be back in our outfits and have him dress up like that. I'm going to talk to him. That's not even a bad idea at all. And I will let you guys know, I did say we're having that interview with the ex-gay porn star that turned to Christ, but because of weather events and transmission issues, we're going to have to move that to next week. But it is going to be on the show as well. And I'm really excited about that because he apparently has a very good testimony and he's been, and we've been trying to get him on the show. So we're very excited about that. but I do want to say this. Yeah. But with the homeschooling thing, like my mom and what has happened is like, I realized like I was raised, like
I didn't have any money, but my mom always told me certain key things. Like, just because we don't have money doesn't mean we don't need to have class. Like, she would explain to me things so like that. Like, she would be like, you know, for instance, she'd be like, there's little things that you do have control over. For instance, she'd go, you do not walk on people's lawns. They have a footpath for a reason. You always use the footpath. And I go, why? And she goes, because you are a human being of control. And this is what class is when you don't cut corners, you don't run red lights, you don't do these things, you actually try to follow the laws, somebody, on the road. But I will say, I will say on this, we weren't even driving in a lane on the way here. We were just like, I don't know where we were driving. We were just somewhere in the middle of the free, like we were just somewhere in the middle of the lanes, at least at some point. Am I right? Mm-hmm. We weren't even. I'm just not commenting
because every single time I do, John rolls his eyes because he hates hearing from either minorities or women. I can't tell.
No, but they cancel out when you team up. It's the best thing.
Okay. No, but I'm saying with all of that is it's so crazy because I've seen during this scamdemic, what was the point, was that homeschooling genuinely bumped. I think it went up. And I could be wrong, Savannah, wasn't it like there was like 1-3% of people were homeschooled? Now it's like 8-11% or something crazy. Like it went tripled, I believe, over this time.
Yeah, it rose up exponentially, which is baffling to me, though, the fact that people are still sending their children to go get educated by the state and raised by the mm-hmm. state, because let's be honest, that's what the education system is. It's like sending your child to go be raised by the government. And again, I'm only 25 years old. I don't have my own kids, but I see this. How the hell do parents who have children not see this? Like, I do not understand it.
Especially boys. Go to my screen here. This is what I was going to say. It's so interesting. Besides like that girl teaching them race, like that they're, you know, that racism is the biggest deal in America. Like anybody who's really focusing on racism has lost the plot, because that's just not the issue that our country's facing at the moment. And if you believe that, you're a sheep. Real. But also, like with our schooling, the point is like, look, boys in crisis. Schools are failing young males. Here's what needs to change in the classrooms. And, you know, when the Biden administration, Kamala Harris, said their administration and their focus and the federal focus for grants and most states' focus is to focus on minorities and women. So number one, if you have white kids, if you have male kids, why would you send them to a public school when the focus of the school is literally to help women and to help minorities get ahead? Which they're not doing well with the minorities part. The black people still aren't doing too well in school. In a lot of these major cities, it's a whole nother fundamental issue. But the biggest issue for this is like, listen to this. It's like, imagine being bombarded with a chorus of pay attention, stop fidgeting, don't touch that. Yet that's what many boys experience in school each day. It says I don't know why it's not letting me exit out of that. Okay, I can't exit out of that ad. Oh, there you go. In a recent New York Times essay, it becomes increasingly hard for them to feel good about themselves. Thomas Edsall reviews a variety of research studies highlighting the plight of young men in the United States. As a frontline educator who has worked in boys' schools for 30 years and served as a head of boys' school for the past 20 years, I have been an unhappy witness to this dilemma. Data supports the claim that boys are falling behind, and dramatically so. For example, there is a growing gender gap in high school graduation rates. According to the Brookings Institute, in 2018, about 88% of girls graduated on time compared to 82% of boys. For college enrollment, the gender gap is even more striking, with men now trailing women in higher education at record levels. Last year, women made up 60% of college students, while men accounted for only 40%, according to statistics for the National Student Clearinghouse. College enrollment in the United States has declined by 1.5 million students over the last 5 years. Amazing. With men accounting for 71% of that drop, meaning at least people are waking up on the positive side, but realizing the entire education system in this country is made to help girls get ahead, because when men don't get ahead and girls do, it destroys the entire country from the inside out.
Yeah. And it's good that you brought up to the decline in admissions and said that's a good thing, but it's like a mixed thing, right? So it's good because people are not going to college and college is dumb. But it's also because not that they're seeing that college is dumb because of, you know, the liberal indoctrination or, you know, the job market, but it's because they don't even feel like they can really like do anything. Like they really just don't have any ambition. Like I have so many friends from back home that by every metric would suggest that they're going to like make it, so to speak, but they're just not. They're just slipping through the cracks. And it makes you wonder if they grew up in an environment that was advantageous, what's happening to all the guys in the heart of the country? You know, like I saw something on Twitter. I think it was a TikTok, but it was on Twitter. And it was a girl and she was videoing her brother. And it was like this 15-year-old kid. And she was like, this is what my brother does all day. He listens to classical music and he plays like Roller Coaster Builder or something, which is like a game. I don't know if that's exactly what it's called, something like that, but it requires like a decent amount of like, you know, intelligence to play
roller
effectively.
Roller Coaster Tycoon.
That's the one. Yeah.
Oh, and legendary. So, I forgot about that game.
And so it's like you have these kids who are like probably 125 plus IQ And what are they going to do? Like they have no real ambition or real opportunities left because their role in society has been displaced. And I just, that makes me so angry. Nothing makes me angry in terms of political discussions and like discussions about young men. Cause I still relate to that. Like I remember being in school.
You're literally a young man.
Real.
Like, isn't it kind of crazy that we have like so many Elon Musks on lock, just kind of like hanging out playing Roller Coaster Tycoon?
It literally the greatest resource that the West has is young white men. And we're just pissing it away because we want to accommodate these narratives that make absolutely no sense.
Yo, what about my people?
You're a young white man. Oh. My point being,
I get so role played, I forget
Elijah Schaefer in role playing, a tale as old as time.
Yep.
My point being, I don't remember my point.
You were saying that the white resources.
I remember being like in third and fourth grade and we would have math books. Remember math boxes, right? And you'd have to go through the whole thing.
I was homeschooled. I didn't do that.
So I remember that I would read like, you know, these very basic arithmetic problems and I would just work ahead in my book because, you know, the agenda would be on the board and it would say we're going up until page like 43. And so I would just be like, okay. So my teachers who were all women, liberal women, they would be teaching the class, you know, how to do these very basic things. And it would just like click. And so I would just go through and we literally had to have a meeting. This woman was so mad at me for not listening to her explain how to do things that I already clearly knew how to do, that I was like working ahead. She was like so mad by this that she like literally berated me and we had to have meetings with my parents, things like that. My villain origin story, just realizing that like the school system is designed to punish excellence. What did it used to be?
Yeah.
The whole university system and school system, broadly speaking, was designed to pick out which kids were, as Aristotle would say, natural aristocrats and help them reach their full potential and change the world in a way that would be positive. Now it does the opposite. It punishes that. And it teaches children who have the greatest likelihood of being that person that they can't and that there's nothing special about them at all. It's weird because we're simultaneously taught that we're all special, everything. But at the same time, it's like, you're really not, because as Dash says in The Incredibles, which is an implicitly right-wing movie, if everyone's super, no one is. If everyone's special, no one is. And that is true.
And John, can, with your permission, can I jump in on this?
I'd prefer if we went to Elijah, actually.
Okay, let's go to Elijah then.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't want to get into the middle of YouTube, but I'm literally in the middle on the screen of YouTube. So no, there's not a lot of about getting out of this. I'm going to deflect back to Savannah.
All I was going to say to build up on John's point is that I think about this a lot. So whenever I was in school, because I did go to public school from kindergarten or preschool to fourth grade, and I used to get punished a lot because I liked to talk. And I specifically remember my teacher putting me in the horseshoe. So she made a desk, like a whole like entire structure of desks, and all the bad kids went inside the horseshoe. All the good kids were on the desks outside of the horseshoe, right? I was always in the horseshoe. No matter how much I tried to be good, I never got out of the horseshoe. And sometimes I think about the fact that my teacher condemned me for talking, and now I've made an entire career out of it. Well, and that's what we're doing to our children.
Okay, but besides the fact that I've lost if this is a joke anymore between the tension between you guys, I'm just going to assume it is and add my point
it's
here.
It's a joke. I love John Doyle. I'm like, a John Doyle nationalist. I truly am. He hates me because I'm brown, but...
Okay, I'm sorry.
No. Mm-hmm,
because I'm a woman. Which one is
that's
it, John?
That's the one.
Let's just get that clear.
What mm-hmm. I didn't know if the tension was in the room because I was very intimidating because of just my outfit and feeling like there was just a lot going on.
That's just because John hates women.
He's actually the biggest respecter of females.
No one loves women more than me. Not a single one.
That's a lie. That's a bold face lie. I'm calling it out right now.
I do want to talk about this and I want to get more into the schooling stuff because we have some very interesting parts of this. And I'm going to educate you guys a little more too in our drag dictionary, in our own education system, which we're learning every day about. But I also want to remind you guys this. I just moved recently. I just saw Savannah's place for the first time. And I know that, you know, sometimes, especially when you're young or even as you get older, you need to buy a car or you need to like move places or whatever it is. Savannah, you know how hard it is just to find a place, right? Like just to literally find a place to move.
It's very difficult.
It's so difficult. Mm-hmm. And what is the one factor that can genuinely keep you from getting a place other than your history of actual rental history or purchase history? What is the one factor that they look at?
Credit score.
Yes, your credit score. Mm. Whether you're renting or buying, it does not matter what you believe about this current system. You need a good credit score. You might not have monitored yours, you might be afraid of yours, or you want to add more points to yours, which is why I'm going to talk to you about ScoreMaster. Now, ScoreMaster is a quick way where you can add points to your score fast. A lot of people can add 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 points in just a few weeks to a few months, which is an amazing way to turn your score around, whether you're thinking about purchasing or renting or leasing or anything that you need. It's just insane how much your credit score matters. And so don't be that guy that treats it like, well, there's no hope. No, there is hope. Try to do something to get ahead and actually check out ScoreMaster and add points to your credit score fast. Then you can maintain and protect your credit score with 24/7 credit monitoring and a $1 million fraud insurance, which is an amazing thing on top of this. It only takes minutes to enroll. See your points, get more points, and qualify for the lowest loan rates. Some people that use ScoreMaster have saved, I think if you're buying a car, they can save up to $10,000 over the loan of your car, up to $100,000 on a home loan. I mean, people have really saved a lot of money by getting their score up because all your rates are basically just predicated on your score. That's pretty much always what it is. Visit ScoreMaster.com/offense. That's ScoreMaster, ScoreMaster.com/offense. That's ScoreMaster.com/offense to get started today. John, and with this, I want to say this. This is an interesting thing. Andrew Yang, of all people, has started talking a lot about what's going on with young men in the country. Now, him being a man of himself, he was saying this, like, boys are more than 2 to 3 times as likely to be diagnosed as having ADHD, 5 times more likely to spend time in juvenile detention, and far less likely to finish high school. In many places, being as good at school is now considered feminine, which is actually true. 70% of U.S. valedictorians were girls. It doesn't get any better when men become adults. Average male wages have declined since 1990. At least 1/6 of prime working age men, 25 to 54, are either unemployed or out of the workforce. More men aged 18 to 34 are living with parents than with romantic partners. That could be seen as based a little bit or like as a good thing, I guess, in society. We're retiring that word, but still, we'll see. Economic transformation hasn't helped. Almost 3/4 of manufacturing workers were men. The sector has lost 5 million jobs since 2000. That's a lot of unemployed men. The sidelining of this, many boys and men have massive social, political, and economic consequences. Tyler Cohen calls it the bad men problem. It's getting tougher and tougher to not fall into this category, addressing it or at least reducing it to a crucial to any positive positive future. Now, reading all that, in summary, what is so insane is like with all of this stuff, being against men and trying to destroy men and everything that's out there, we could talk about this and we will continue to talk about it for a long time. But I think that's where it's the most important thing now, rather than focusing on race, is focusing on class and gender is one of the more important things of what's actually going on in our country right now, where you can get ahead. You might disagree with that.
I would say gender.
Yeah, but I'm saying, because obviously a lot of class issues are happening. Men are falling behind, and especially most people that watch this show are men. Or if you're a woman, you probably love men. Or if you're gay, you probably love men more than both groups. But the point of the matter is that with this issue with what's going on in our country, is that I was homeschooled and I thrived being homeschooled. I'm a self-starter. I'm an entrepreneur. I own a company. I have employees. I've always ran my own company. I've always done my own things. Everyone in my family was homeschooled. They're all massively successful people. Probably I'm the least successful of all of them. They have, like, I'm not going to say which company, but my sister's a top executive at one of the largest companies in America, and she's doing really well for herself. My brother is, I'm not gonna say it, what he does, but he owns a huge IT company and a lot of employees, doing really well. My little sister is like, she wants to get married and, you know, eventually probably stay home, but she's also like, while she's waiting for a husband, she's already like on her, I think she's finished her second master's degree, like gonna be working on her doctorate. She's just looking for a husband. And then there's me with Barbies on my desk. So at least I have more Barbies, dude.
Love that like Thanksgiving lineup where it's like, so Elijah, tell us about like your, you know, what do you do?
And then you go to my full
screen. I kind of have this like racist podcast and we just kind of like, you know. Dude, that's my.
It's not racist though because I'm here.
No. And it's also, look how I'm dressed. You think I'm a big respecter of society and diversity. Sure. But all in all, what I meant is that, dude, besides winning most talkative in the senior year and getting my own page with my own page saying the most talkative person.
How did you do that? That's truly baffling to me.
I won the whole school. Most likely to protest.
See, okay, that's better. Mine was just being annoying. I mean, I was always in trouble. I mean, I got suspended. I got expelled from school when I went to school. I was getting Saturday schools. I got into a lot of drugs. I was really bored. I would never found it very challenging. I graduated with I had a 4.6 or something. I don't know how that makes sense. I did great in the academic side of things. I went to clubs. I got a full ride to college, whatever. I did the whole thing. And I still did a ton of acid, smoked pot, got wasted. And because I wasn't challenged and I was always in trouble. Always in trouble for talking, for being disruptive, because it was so f-ing boring. And it was, I was like, this isn't designed for me.
No,
I hated it. Nothing was worse than going to school. Homeschooling, epic. I would get my schoolwork done. I would work on my own time. I would play outside. I'd hang out. Went to school. It made me retarded. Like I used to be smart, believe it or not. I actually used to be a very intelligent person. And then I went to school, got bored, got heavily into drugs during developmental years, probably lost like 20 IQ points. And now I play with Barbies with a Mexican.
Yeah. No, it's true. Like literally the entire school system, even in terms of the way that they disseminate information, is designed to
best way to
like,
describe our show. Sorry to cut you off, John, but
it's designed to like basically be more, I guess, accessible to women and even the way that like we process information. And it's like you see guys, and if they choose to, they can be perfectly competent and they can excel in the public school system. But a lot of guys just don't see the value in it. And so what happens is, like, again, you know, you are given a lesson, you memorize the information until there's a test, you take the test, you pass the test, and you continue. Like, that's all of it. You know, you don't actually retain a lot of the information. And so you have all these girls who, because that model is very applicable to them in terms of how their brains are structured, they feel so smug, especially when they see guys like John Doyle, guys like John Doyle and his friends not focusing in class. We're making memes. We're shitposting.
Oh, dude, you look like a troll. I have seen your pictures from high school.
Oh, dude,
like,
I was the biggest troll. I was like, and that's why,
the kid I thought would have shot up my school.
So, no.
Not you, but like, that looked like you.
No way,
I'm joking. But I also am not. No, actually, someone did shoot up my school, but it wasn't a little white kid with glasses.
We had an incident too, actually, and it was a black kid, actually. He brought a pistol onto the baseball diamond, and he was going to commit suicide. It was like a whole thing. It was very scary. But yeah, and so you see this, and you kind of have this attitude. I call these people Zuckerbergs, by the way, because all of these girls, and you know, some of the more feminine guys, who they do really well in high school, and they think that because they get into like a good school, like university, that means they're going to change the world. And they're going to be like the next Mark Zuckerberg, and they think that they're so exceptional and so brilliant. But you listen to these people talk, and they've never had an original idea. They've never expressed anything about like a particular interest that they really excelled at. They're all just basically carbon copies of each other. And so this was really fun for me because, you know, they all had like perfect GPAs, and I didn't. I was somewhere in like the mid threes because, again, I wanted to make memes. But then we took our SATs, right? And for those who don't know, you know, a lot of people think, oh, it's just a score. It's nothing. Standardized testing is dumb. It's not. It's a proxy for an IQ test. It's highly correlative with your IQ. It's an intelligence test because they made explicit intelligence tests basically illegal because of racism or whatever. So the SAT is highly highly correlated with your IQ, with your future income, with success, all those metrics. And so I was in 99th percentile for my SAT.
I believe that.
Perfect
SAT. We can tell by your pictures, John.
I don't think anyone looks at that kid and goes, yeah, that kid's going to struggle in school.
Whatever.
That's not my first thought.
We just like to be factually correct on the show, John.
Perfect. John, you were wearing suits and you were 18 and wearing suits and you were smoking?
That's not
cigarettes or something?
That was for my intro. That was the first time I smoked a cigarette. So we had, 99th percentile SAT score, perfect essay score. We get these test scores back and these girls were seething. They were seething because why didn't he get you mean? Because they were mad because they were like, he's supposed to be stupid. Because again, I was trolling. We were doing a little bit of trolling. And then the same thing happened when I didn't go to college. They were so smug because John Doyle didn't go to college. He's going to a community college and he's going to start doing YouTube. And they just wanted to make fun of me. And now this is funny too, because girls always have their like,
get it out, John.
I am.
Get
out.
Truly,
I will. Who hurt
I will.
You
get it out right
evil.
Now.
Jeez.
It's true. We need to get back at these people for laughing at
literally,
us.
Literally. Because the, you know, girls tend to have their post high school stories. Like, these girls used to pick on me, but now I'm prettier than them. I don't have anything like that. My thing is just kind of like, you know, those opinions that used to kind of correctly hate me for. Well, now I make money saying them in your face. That's like my post high school victory score.
Every time I try to complain about my life, Savannah, John goes, yeah, it must be pretty tough to make a living just talking. You've got a really hard life. It's very difficult, huh? You got to get up and go talk for a couple hours. But you know what? You know what, though? The only hard part is that, like, when you're not taking care of your mind, sometimes, like, you go, like, literally crazy where you have to make episodes like this. Savannah, I'm voting. You know what Savannah and I talked about? We were doing TikToks for too long. Slightly Offensive is just getting back to Slightly Offensive this year, where we're just going back to being ridiculous.
No, you know how, like you were just talking about, where it's just like you're already in a bad place mentally, and then you have to go into Twitter and like look at the worst corners of the internet, and you're like, RIP, I'm going to go self-delete real quick.
Yeah, but that's what I meant. It's like sometimes you don't want to, but I don't really care. What I'm saying, there's a lot more that goes into production besides this. And you'll see my new Epic Home Studio, which I'm building out too, which I'm very excited about.
The Diversity Coalition built it.
I think it is really important because you, like, the most successful people I can think of, or even like look at someone like Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a patriot who loves his country. He always has. But the reason he wanted to run for president and destroy the ruling class and the establishment wasn't necessarily because he loved his country. It was more so because he felt like they never took him seriously. He felt like, despite the fact that he was successful, he was very influential in media and in business, he didn't quite talk like them, right? He didn't talk with their level of sophistication. He was always kind of a New Yorker, and he felt like they never really accepted him into their circles because of that. And he felt scorned by that. So it really is important. I mean, there's nothing men won't do to achieve a personal sense of justice. I mean, they will literally climb mountains for this. And so that's kind of like what I've tried to tap into for my like driving force is I see the people in high school who were the class presidents who had their nose in the air. And I see the same people, that same breed of people, the The ruling class now in this country has their nose in the air and they think less of people like us who are just normal. We just want to make memes. That's all we want to do. We just want to grill. Yeah. We want to make memes. We want to play Xbox and they won't let us. So my entire mission in life is just to make these people have bad things happen to them when we take power.
I'm just going to put my hand down there. I was on board until I was like, but you know what I was going to say is like, this is actually one thing to all the people struggling out there feeling like you don't fit in. I think we need to talk more about this stuff, cause that's where like the mainstream industry gives these vague things. Like Lady Gaga, this is a good example, right? She'll like be at a political rally doing music there. And she'll be like, this is a song for everybody who feels like you just don't fit in. You know, you walk around and no one gets you. And you know what? This song's for you. And that's like everybody in the crowd. Cause then no one really, there's no such thing as genuinely fitting in. Some people just choose a spot to fit in. But I do want to say this. It's like, yeah, it did suck. Like, especially the fact, think about this. I told you I have Down syndrome, not autism. But my studies in school, those were the autistic people. They really were. They just sat there and just could be in a lab. We did labs. It was a lab-focused career. And the point is, it's like people would get so mad because I thought college was easy. I did really, really well in university and even going on to grad school and everything like that. It was like not very difficult for me. And people would get mad because it's like I didn't really study, didn't really put in the time, and would always ace the exams and do really well. Mm-hmm. And the teachers would get mad because I wasn't like the other students, and I'd fight them and argue with them and just wouldn't take their shit. So the point of the matter is like, you would get mad because you're like, dude, I'm not like, I'm actually doing better than all of you guys, but no one thinks I'm smart here. No one cares. And I don't even think I'm smart because I don't think you're smart by being able to figure out how you answer multiple choice tests and essays. This isn't intelligence. This is just maybe IQ a little bit or something like that. The ability to recite information. But it's like, when you never really fit in, it's like kind of actually fun. Cause then you get into podcasting and people realize that you are retarded, but you capitalize on your autism or your Down syndrome. Real. You capitalize on it. And then you talk to people. Now we're all friends. And we got our members here. I want to remind you guys this. We have Mr. Clown Pill. He's goofy. He's a goofy guy. You know what I mean? He doesn't fit in. Bro. He's too goofy. He's playing. Look at him. Oh, look at him. He's having a good time. Check this out. All right. We got our drag queen thing. Cause we know we're going to read a word from this in a second. What was his name again? Oh yeah. He was
John.
Who was this guy?
John Hacker.
Oh yeah, this is John. wait.
John, respectfully, wait, that's John Hacker.
Why is it skewed like this?
I don't know.
This is John Hacker. So yeah. That's John Hacker. And then who's this? Who is this again? Ooh, she's spreading. Oh, she's Peg. Oh yeah, Peggy. Because if you don't remember, Peggy. Sorry, this is violating. Peggy has a
peg leg.
Has a peg leg. This is Peggy.
Because all
sit all in your lap.
All
she likes
people
you.
Need to be represented.
Yeah, she's hot. And then this.
Okay, that's what's John.
Did we ever name this? A Middle Eastern guy gave this to us. Who is this again?
I gotta pull this dress down. She's being a
Mohammed.
Alu Akbar, inshallah, bro. I don't know, but this guy's our.
What
Muslim.
If we
I
name him?
Know.
Let's name him Soleimani, maybe.
She actually looks like my ex girlfriend.
I think about the camel. Because the camel, I don't know. Okay, never mind. Moving on. This was our first non-binary Barbie. Who is this again?
I don't know if we gave her a name.
Yeah, we did.
Robin.
Was this Robin? No, there was a name. Let's call her Alopecia.
Okay.
No, I don't know who that one is. I forgot. Remind us what her name was. And then this one, Mrs. Wheels right here.
The creme de la creme, Madison.
This is Madison, the original who started it all.
Yes.
Miss Wheels, just like... Dude, hey, you made
She's
fun of me in school.
She's rolling in hot.
Guess what? I'm getting paid to play with a Barbie on a microphone.
And the reason they make fun of you is because you're not validating their existence. Like, you were happy to just do your
Except
own thing.
Except for that we are with
I was happy
Barbies.
To do my own thing. And these are the people who are like, no, because like, I need to have this university tell me that I'm like really exceptional, or I need to have this school tell me I'm like really exceptional. They are incapable of like making their own path. So the path is laid out for them. Do well in state school, do well in state adjacent university. And they're like, okay. And then they go and they think that their education is like legitimate, when in reality, their education is just memorizing like the vocab terms of the regime. Like, they're going to sit down with you at like their 10-year anniversary and be like, critical race theory means this. And it's like, oh, well, that just sounds retarded. And you paid like, what, $100,000 to learn that? So it's like really gets down into that dichotomous political understanding of people who want to be left alone versus people who will simply not leave you alone. And all of the people who were like that are still like that now. And they're the ones who are unfortunately pulling the strings in this country.
So. Yeah, and my job is now speaking into a disabled Barbie's butt, and then you hear it in your ear, and that's how I pay my rent. But anyway, I'm saying this. It's true. And the only reason why I bring this up is because obviously I just wanted to say this, like, dude, how fun is that too? It's like, Okay, so the point of the matter is, this is actually not a bad, this is not a bad
ending
to the
show. Our microphone is now disabled, Barbie.
This is what you get when you make it to the end of the show. I do want to read you guys, obviously, from the Diversity Coalition. We had a lot of stuff. Oh, this is so gross. I just didn't even mean to open
up this page. No, it's important, Elijah. Okay, please, John, respect the word
John,
as it is.
This
Thank
is
you.
The word of the day. Are you ready for this? From the Drag Queen Dictionary, we will teach you. She's playing. Wow. You playing, girl.
Play too much.
Peggy's playing. So from our Drag Dictionary, we're going to end the show by reading you the word of the day, which is fishy. You asked for seafood? No, did you, Savannah, did you ask for seafood?
I did not.
Fishy queens are highly feminine queens. Today, the term is considered offensive towards trans women and cis women. All body parts are beautiful and none of them defines a person's gender. She looks so fishy. Now, I thought we were going somewhere else with that, so I'm really happy it didn't go where
Same,
my mind was.
Actually, so.
I think the other one too, famously, Kai Kai. I never forget that. That's when two queens have sex with each other.
It's like sometimes I recover from that mentally and then you bring it back up. It's so
okay, weird. This was supposed to be the one for today. The word for today was actually supposed to be padding.
Ah, very important.
Padding. Changing your silhouette has never been so easy. Everyone has different body shapes. By wearing hip padding, for example, you can balance out wide shoulders and change the body shape completely. Padding is made of foam and is a great tool for drag queens and kings to achieve their desired body shape. You need to start padding. Your butt looks flat. So the point is, if you need to use padding to change your body shape, this probably means you're in an unnatural state and you're probably doing something that you shouldn't be doing. That's all I would like to say for that one. And I'd like to retire that book. And also, not forgetting to... At the very end of the show, we also like to raise our kids as activists. Mm. My Little Looter. Welcome to My Little Looter.
This is My Little Looter.
My Little Looter. Today, we have the activist kids. Here's where we at. Kings are fine for story time. Knights are fun to play. But when we make decisions, we will choose the people's way. LGBTQ. Love who you choose, because love is true. Liberate your notions of limited emotions. Celebrate with pride our links of devotions. And it has a couple of homosexual children, if that's even real there. And that was your education. That was your queer liberal education for a day. Yep. All right. There's nothing
in there. Prop gun.
Nice prop gun. There's nothing in there, like I showed you. It's a prop gun. It's not real, and it's also for Northwest Retention. Second ad for Northwest Retention, nwretention.com, promo code offense at 10% off. Anyway, if you make it this far in the podcast, don't forget to leave a 5-star review. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And you might get it read on the show. We have two podcast reviews today. John's going to read them if he can, probably from that screen right there. Let's get them on the screen from our podcast reviewers. Go ahead.
Julie from Pennsylvania says, just started listening a week ago and added you to my daily list. Love this lighthearted yet informative podcast. Keep up the great work.
Lighthearted. Dude, it is true. The more that life is weird, we got to keep it light. We got to have fun. We got to have fun. If you're not having fun in your
you're
podcast.
You're going to kill yourself.
Yeah, literally. Next review. We have one. Thank you.
This is from M. Foster 2015. They say, amazing, love the show. I'm a new listener, and I love the show. Dude, Short, simple, and... The brevity is really, it's important.
Yeah, you can also become a Blaze TV member and help pay John's rent by going to blazetv.com/Elijah. He doesn't have his code, so for right now, we're just going to use that code. And you can get $10 off, become an official SOB. And remember, you're not an SOB until you do two things, until you join blazetv.com/Elijah, and you join the Telegram chat. Those are like two things you've got to do to become an official SOB. And don't forget, we do have... Diversity Coalition members. If you ever would like to send us a member of the Diversity Coalition to extend the family, it's got to make sense, and you can send them to Mercury Studios in Texas. Attention, Savannah or Elijah, and you can always have them shipped there, and that's totally fine. And just remember, if you ever show up at the studios, we will shoot you. So there's that too. That's just a normal thing. But we do appreciate you guys, as always, continually going there. It's just true. There's literally armed security everywhere. They'll kill you.
Ain't no cap in his rap. Bro speaks the truth.
That's true. I really appreciate it, and we love you guys so much. Don't forget to follow Savannah Hernandez at the Rapid Fire Podcast. How is that going, Savannah? Sav says on YouTube, why should people follow you there?
Because I just hype up our show the entire time, truly. No, I have my own show. We, talk politics and all that good stuff, but more importantly, you should follow.
It's more newsy. I mean, say if you want more news,
it's more newsy,
podcast.
But you know, if you want to actually be a smart individual, then you go follow this man.
Yeah. So John, where can people find you? Where can they follow you?
That's going to be youtube.com/John Doyle, where I regularly and consistently post some of the best content on youtube.com. And other than that, yeah, I'm around, Greater DFW area.
Well, and I'm happy to. By the way, you can follow me anywhere. Just hit 350K on Twitter. Very happy about that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not sure how long that's going to last. Follow me on gab.com as well. We're trying to hit 50K on gab.com. And then on Telegram, we're trying to hit 15,000 by the end of this month. If we can, go to Telegram, t.me/slightlyoffensive, and follow me there.
I didn't want to be this guy, but I didn't get my confetti at the beginning.
You did.
I don't
actually, you did, so you don't get any now.
Doesn't matter.
I
gaslit you into getting confetti twice. Let's
give him a little bit. Go.
Boom. No. Three times? Don't make me come over there three times.
It's like a false start. You know what I mean?
I want more confetti.
Give him a little. Savannah, this is not how this works.
Why aren't you? Okay, insubordinate.
I'll give him. There you go. There's your confetti.
No, that's for everybody. It's not the same.
Mm.
I spoke into a disabled Barbie's butt. Give the man confetti.
I drove here in the snow.
Give him a little bit.
Cut back to.
And go. Yeah. Let's go. Anyway, thank you so much again for watching another episode of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, with your top 17 host, me, Elijah Schaefer. We have a lot more fun coming up next week with incredible interviews, lots more insanity, and the show is going to continue to develop. Have fun, and we're going to go through all the bullshit together. Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.